Pastor Delane is going to continue our teaching series this morning through our church values. And this week we will be considering our last church value, which is generosity. Now, this is not a sermon about generosity in financial giving, although that will certainly be a part of it. It is about how we are generous with all the blessings that God has given us. Things like time, skills, gifts, and finances as well. Jason is going to come up to read our Bible reading for us this morning. Thanks, Jason.
Today's Bible reading is Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophecy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is the word of God.
Good morning, church. Good to see you all. Please keep that Bible reading open in front of you. We're going to spend some time looking at it as we look at our last value this morning. But allow me to pray before we come to God's word. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful morning where we can gather here together and to worship you, to praise you. And Lord, now this time that we get to sit under your word. So Father, we pray, please speak to us, challenge us, Lord, rebuke us, heal us. And Father, may you continue to spur us through your Spirit, so that we might become more and more like your Son, Jesus. We ask this for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know how many of you this morning, as you walked up the stairs, did you notice something new? Did you notice anything new? Some of you, who noticed something new? A few of you? Right. Shall I say what it is? As you walked up, you need to just look straight. There's something on the board, on the wall as you walk up. There's a new sign that we've come up with all our church values on it. So when you walk back today, make sure that you look back at the wall. Thanks for Leo and Josh who put that together. There's this great big sign. It's not a small one. It's a big sign. So you should be able to see it, okay? You came at the back door, you're excused. Well, the last 6 weeks, friends, we have been looking at our church values. What guides us as we try to live out our mission of being followers and witnesses of Jesus to glorify God. And we looked at the Bible as our authoritative word, didn't we? It is what guides us in everything that we do. Then we talked about love, that our love for God and our love for people, this is something that will guide our living as we live as a community. Then we talked about prayer, that in everything that we do, prayer is foundational. Individually and as a community, we want to build our lives on prayer. Then we talked about growth. We become more and more like Jesus, and we help others, we strive to help others to be the same. And then outreach, where we share God's love with people here and elsewhere. That's what we want to do as a community. And then last week, if you were here, we had Edwina who spoke on community. God has welcomed us into a community. And then now in response to that, we create safe and a welcoming community for all people. So this is why we come to our last value, where we talk about generosity. That we are generous with the time, talents and resources God has given us. Now if you think about it, this value seeks to answer the question, how does God provide for His church? How does God sustain His church? How does He do that? He provides for His church by the generosity of His people. This is how God sustains the church as we seek to glorify God by being followers and witnesses of Jesus. Now we read the passage from Romans chapter 12. If you look at verses 6 to 8 of the passage, the Apostle Paul says by verse 6, he says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. Then he goes on to say, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. What is he saying here, the Apostle Paul? He's not saying that church is a one-man band. Right? He's very talented, isn't it? I mean, if you can play all the instruments at one time, yes, very, very clever. But no, church is actually an orchestra. We all play a part in the church. We all have different parts that we play. We play it well, we play it diligently, we play it generously, and we play it cheerfully. The church can sustain, church can keep on going and growing when its members continues to contribute generously, not just financially as Jerome mentioned earlier, but with time, talents, and with all our resources. Now, what is true of the first century church in Rome is also true of the church in every century, isn't it? How is God going to sustain us? He's going to do that by us being generous, calling us to be generous with our time, talents, and all the resources that He has given us. But then we think about, okay, why? Why should we be generous? And this is what I want to think for the rest of our time together this morning. Why should we be generous? The first reason that we find in this passage that we looked at this morning is we become generous because it is a mark of our ongoing transformation, isn't it? It is a mark of our ongoing transformation. It is part of growing as Christians. Look at verses 1 and 2 of this chapter, of chapter 12. It says, in view of God's mercy, he says, in view of what God has done, and he's talked about that for the first 11 chapters, right? What Jesus has done on the cross, his death and his resurrection, he paid for your sin, he brought you out of darkness, now you are in his kingdom. In view of all what God has done, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, he says. Do not be conformed to the ways of this world. No, be transformed by renewing of your mind, he says, so that you can approve or accept the good, perfect, and pleasing will of God. What is Paul saying here? Now that we are Christians, now that we have become believers, we must be different. Different in the way we operate. Different from the world, the way the world operates, isn't it? Our values, our behavior, the way we speak, and certainly how we treat what we have should be different. Now, as a couple of weeks ago, as we saw earlier, we talked about growth, isn't it? Growth is that we are becoming more and more and more like Jesus our Lord. And one of the things that will happen when we become more and more like Jesus is we are going to become more and more generous like our Lord Jesus. How generous was our Lord Jesus? Now, Edwina, when she spoke last week, she, I don't know whether you noticed, she actually recited the first few verses of Philippians chapter 2. It talks about the generosity of Jesus, doesn't it? I'm not going to recite that by heart, but what does it say? It says that Jesus was God, the same God. But he did not grasp hold of his divinity as something to be taken hold of. No, he gave up his divinity and he came down to earth. Instead of holding on to it, he gave up, he sacrificed, and he became like one of us. He became a servant. He gave himself up on a cross for our sins. That's how generosity looked like in Jesus' life. Now, if you think about it, when the Bible talks about God's generosity, he doesn't give just drips and drops, does he? No, when he loves lavishly. When he loves, he doesn't love just one group of people. No, he loves the whole world, and he gives his own son for the whole world. He forgives completely. He gives his grace abundantly. He gives more than what we can ask or imagine. He gives life and life to the full. No half measures with our God. And friends, if we are becoming like Jesus, if that is the goal of our life, and as we spiritually grow, as we mature as Christians, this is how God will shape us to be. To be generous like he is. And our generosity, friends, is an outworking of our growth. It is an outworking of our transformation, isn't it? So as you are being transformed, expect God to make you more generous. Expect God to give you a heart of generosity. And the second reason why we should be generous is we need each other, isn't it? We need each other. We need each other. Now, there's a story on a cold winter's morning. The American evangelist D.L. Moody, he went to visit one of his church members to talk about his church membership and involvement. And as they were talking, they sat near a coal fireplace. And he was asking, so why aren't you at church? And all those questions. And this man said, I believe that I can be just as a good Christian outside the church as I can be inside it. Basically, he said, well, I don't need to come to church to be a Christian. Right? I can be a better Christian just staying at home. And it was told that Moody actually took one of the coals out of the fire and then he put it outside. And then they both sat and watched how this coal kind of slowly died out. It was a perfect illustration, isn't it, to this man and to us, so that we can't, as Christians, we can't live on our own. God has designed that we, to survive as Christians in this journey, that we need each other. We need the church, and that's why he has brought us into a community. God didn't save us to be on our own. He didn't call us to serve ourselves. He didn't call us to be lone rangers. No, he called us into the church. And the New Testament doesn't know anyone who is not a part of a church, who calls themselves a Christian and not part of a church. So if you are a new Christian, then you need to find a good Bible-believing church to be part of. And if you're a mature Christian, then you need to see the importance of being together, coming together into the church. It is important that you don't give up meeting together as Christians. So here in verse 3 of Romans chapter 12, the apostle says these words, the apostle Paul says these words, by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And people might think highly of themselves for so many reasons, right? They might be thinking, well, I've got a title, I've got the power, I've been a Christian for a long time, I've been in this church for a long time because I've got knowledge, I've got experience, I've got the qualifications. They could think that they're higher than everybody else because of the wealth or the status or the race or the ethnicity. It could be because of the language that they speak or the age or the gender or the ethnicity. Because when we think high of ourselves, we sometimes tend to not see the needs of others, right? We don't appreciate when others try to help us. Because we think we have everything, so we don't need your help. We don't need others. And the other end of the spectrum is the people who think too low of themselves, isn't it? Like, oh, I don't have anything to offer. I'm too young, I'm too new. I don't have any gifts, I don't have any qualifications, I'm not a member of this church, perhaps because of my gender, I don't think I can give anything, I don't think I have anything to give, I'm thinking too low of myself, isn't it? When we think that way, we can foster a bit of like, let's take everything that we can get. Mentality. We expect others to serve us. We come with the mentality of receiving, with the mentality of being consumers. Now, both these attitudes can easily get in the way of being generous, don't you think? We can't be generous if we have both these attitude. So, what does Paul say? Verse 3 continues. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Well, what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying faith is the great equalizer. Faith in Jesus is the great equalizer. We all have been given faith as a gift to trust in Jesus. The Apostle Paul says to the Galatian church, says, so in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through faith. What does that mean? That means there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's no slave nor free. There's no male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. What unites us is the faith in the Lord Jesus. And Paul writes to the Corinthian church, right? He talks about we are the body of Christ. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is part of it. There's no one high, there's no one low. We all have equal value in the body of Christ. But we have different functions, isn't it, in the body. Look at verse 4 with me of Romans chapter 12. It says, just like the human body with many members, these members do not have the same function. That is the church, isn't it? In the body of Christ, the church, we have many members. None of us have the same function. We don't do the same thing. We are not the same. Just like the hand and the feet have different functions, God has brought different people with different gifts and skills and abilities to the church. We have different functions to play. Why does he do that? Now look at verse 5. Because we form one body. Because each member belongs to all others. I have what you don't have. And you have what I don't have. We depend on each other. We need each other. And that's how God designed the human body, and that's how God designed the church to be. When you're part of, when one part of a human body hurts, the whole body hurts, isn't it? I mean, we know that. I imagine you have a headache in the morning. You don't leave your head in the pillow and take the rest of your body to work. No, your whole body stays at home. When one part does well, the whole body does well. The same image is true of the church. We thrive when we are all generous with our time, our talents, our skills, our resources, everything that we have been given. And we suffer when we are not generous. The church suffers when its members are not generous. The reason why we should be generous, one is that it is part of, it is a mark of our transformation, of becoming more and more like Jesus in our generosity. And the second is that we need each other. You have something I don't have. I have something you don't have. We work together. We are becoming generous as we do that. And the final reason why we should be generous is that everything that we have is given by God to us as gifts. Everything that we have. Look at verse 3. Paul, he says, The authority I have as an apostle, saying, I didn't earn it. It's not something that comes from within. No, it is something that has been given to me. It is external. Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. The list that in verses 7 to 8, it is not an exhaustive list. It talks about the gift of prophecy, teaching, serving, giving, leading, encouraging, and showing mercy. It is just a sample list that Paul could just think of at that time. Because there are several lists in the Bible. But the point is that they are just that, gifts given to each one of us by a gracious God. Everyone is gifted. Now, none of us this morning can say, well, I don't have any gifts. If you're saying that, I mean, you are making God a liar. Because God has, I mean, Paul has just said that according to His grace, He has given every one of us gifts. You may not know your gift, you may not know your gift, but you're all gifted. It would be good to find out, what is my gift? What is my spiritual gift? Now, there's a book called Being Leaders that I've been reading by Aubrey Malfres. And in his book, he has this tool that he kind of developed to identify our spiritual gifts. And I've got some copies available during morning tea. It is looking at some of about 110 questions, and then you kind of tick which one that you are most attracted to, most that you might do, and then out of that, it kind of distills your spiritual gift. So if you want to take hold of one of that and do that this afternoon, that will be good, or this week, that will give you a bit of an idea of what is your spiritual gift. Now, in the Old Testament, you probably remember this story when King David, he was collecting funds and material to build the temple of God, because his son was going to build the temple, Solomon. But what does he do? This is the prayer that I was going to come to. What does he do? He gives generously, and then because of his generosity, every one of the community of every Jew start bringing gifts, gold, silver, precious stones, and money. And there's this huge generosity of the people. And then David is filled with joy, and he prays this prayer. And one of the things that he says is, but who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. We have given you only what comes from your hand. What does that mean, friends? Everything that we have, the jobs that we have, the finances that we have, the houses we live, the cars, the health, the skills, the offices that we have, everything, the time that we have, the health that we have, is a gift from God. And what we are giving back to God, friends, is what He has just given us. They are gifts from God. We don't own them. Nothing that we have, not even the breath that we take every morning, we own it. It's given by God. Why does He give? Why has He given these gifts? Verses 6 to 8. Not just to keep it for ourselves, right? Not just to hoard it and just keep it for ourselves. No, to use it. Again, it's as if you have the gift of prophesy, prophesy. If you have the gift of serving, then serve. If you have the gift of teaching, then teach. If you have the gift of encouragement, then encourage. Give generously. Lead diligently. Show mercy cheerfully. Be generous with all what God has given. Don't wait till you get a position to use your gifts. Don't wait till the pastor or one of the leaders come and tap on your shoulder and says, hey, why don't you serve in the church? Be generous with all what God has given. And don't give the leftovers to God, friends. Don't give the leftovers to God. Give the best to God. The usual scenario in the church is only 10% does the work in the church, isn't it? And we do a little bit better in this church. But some of these people, if you see the rosters, some of these people double up. On a given Sunday, we have, just have a guess, how many people do you think on a given Sunday serve in the church? Just have a guess. How many people serve on a given Sunday? That's about 20. But if you see some of these people, they serve every Sunday. Right? They do every Sunday. They come up and play the guitar or play the drums, or they're on sounds. Wouldn't it be good if we can find a drummer so that we can give Josh a bit of a break? Or a bass guitarist where we can give Lara a bit of a break? Or another Trevor, not another Trevor, someone who can stand up in the sound desk? There's some of the needs that we just have. But there are other areas in this church, isn't it, that we need you to be generous. Have you been part of this church for a while? Then why not talk to Faustine, who just went downstairs to put some spring rolls or pastries in the oven, and there's some good pastries coming in the morning tea. But talk to her. She's doing the roster for the next 3 months. Is there a way that you can be involved in the church? And there are other areas like the church leadership team. And we've got leaders in the church leadership team who's been there for more than 10 years. Some have been there 15, 16, 20 years. And they want to come down, but they can't because the next generation of leaders are not coming. I'm looking at some of you young people who are not looking at me right now. Step up. How can you be generous in the time and the skills and the gifts that God has given you? Discipleship. Bringing people to church on a Sunday morning, those who can't get to church. Pastoral visitation, Bible study groups. Now, we had the formerly young adults group who met on Friday, and then we're kind of like, who's going to lead this group? I don't have the time. Can somebody step up to lead the group from within themselves? And once we've come up with our strategic planning process, which we are going to do very soon, we want to grow in numbers. We want to invest in the next generation. We want to empower the next generation. We want to send people out. How can we do all this? We can do all this when we are generous with our time, talents, and resources. Some of you have lots of ideas, isn't it? Lots of ideas. We can do this, we can do that, we can go here, we can have this thing. But we don't have people. We don't have the finances to do it. Maybe you might need to pray that God would bring people into the church who can serve. Or maybe you can pray that you, God will prompt you to get involved. We want to employ another associate pastor. One thing that's stopping us is finances. And as we grow, we want to do that. We will need to have staff coming on board. Generosity. We need to do outreach ministries. Who's going to get involved? I mean, you need to remember, friends, the picture there, isn't it, earlier? Church is not a one-man band. And the picture is that you pay me to do all the work. Maybe you pay me to do all the work, but you pay me to get you involved in kingdom's work. I'm here to empower you, to encourage you to get involved, not just to be spectators. To be generous. Remember, church is an orchestra. Don't let it be a one-man show. You have a part to play, so play your part. Be generous with everything that God has given you. This is how God is going to provide for His church, through the generosity of all of us as we contribute generously, as we surrender ourselves and say, God, use me for your purposes. Use me. Use what I have for your purposes. Make that your prayer. Let me pray. I just want to give you a moment, just in silence, to respond to what you've just heard. Just think about your own lives. Think about everything that God has given. How are you going with your generosity? Is there a way that God is prompting you, even this morning, to be generous? Is He convicting you of areas that you are not generous with? And ask God to help you and to give you the grace to surrender everything and to know what that means. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity for us to hear your word. Lord, to recognize that you have begun a good work in us, the good work of transformation, and part of that is that you are making us more and more like Jesus, more and more like Jesus in the way we are becoming generous. Help us to acknowledge and recognize that we are part of one body, and when we are not generous with our time and talents and skills and gifts you have given, we are depriving one another, depriving your church. Help us to be generous with the gifts you have given us. And as we do, may you do marvelous things in and through us and through this church. That, Lord, that your name will be honored and glorified. And we ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we leave this place, Father, may your love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us now and forever. Amen. Amen.